Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hi, folks. Well, I think I'm going to start today. I had a great training session with one of my students this morning. Debbie has a 12-month-old German Shepherd puppy, Terry, and she's cute as can be. Her name is Bella.
Cool.
And probably Bella will grow up to be another therapy dog because Debbie has a 2.5-year-old. Oh, we have to tell them about Debbie's passing her test
Oh, did she?
yesterday. Yes, I didn't
You
tell you.
digress,
Oh, yeah, sorry, I do that a lot. Debbie has a 2.5-year-old German Shepherd named Dixie, who she has just worked very hard with. And Dixie has been working as a therapy dog for about a year,
she's
but
TDI.
she's TDI. And Debbie wanted to, rather than TDI, register with the Delta Society. And as with some of us, the first time she tested with Delta, she did not pass. That the same thing happened with me and Murphy. It is, in my opinion, the hardest test out there for therapy dogs. But she retested yesterday, and she and Dixie passed.
Sweet.
Yes,
She
so
must be very excited.
she's thrilled to death. Dixie could care, but whatever. But they are now officially Delta Society pet partners. And what that means where we live, there is one hospital here, MCV, that will not allow any other dogs in their hospital to visit unless
Unless
they
they're
are
Delta.
Delta. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. What we're going to do now is kind of attack MCV. We're going to try and get both Murphy and Dixie in there. Let's get our dogs in there and see what we can do. Our
Cool.
big German Shepherd and our big Labrador Retriever. So anyhow,
Absolutely.
back to Bella the puppy. Debbie is taking a class with Bella, which I recommend for everybody. She's in her first puppy class, so that's 1 hour a week for 6 weeks probably. But we want to make sure that these first few months of the puppy's life, that she gets absolutely everything she needs, so we don't have any issues later on. So
Sure.
we are going to try and get together once a week to do some out in the world training with her puppy. So we did our first session this morning, and be mindful of this, folks. If Debbie lives in the country, but this puppy is going to, if she becomes a therapy dog, she's going to be in the city, she's going to be all over the place. So if you live in the country, you need to make sure that your very young puppy experiences the city because it smells different, sounds different, looks
Yeah,
different.
that could be really scary. First time in the city? Holy crap.
Absolutely. Just the sounds,
Yeah.
you know? So what was good was this was on a Sunday morning, and we picked a place where, the grocery store was closed. And so we worked in the area around the parking lot and that sort of thing. But within 100 yards, perhaps, was a road. And so ultimately, what we did was we worked our way toward the road so she could hear the traffic sounds and such. But it was great for Bella, and she was very interested in everything, nose on everything. We were practicing mini leavets because puppies want to put anything they can in their mouths. If it fits, they want it in there.
Thank God knows what's in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. So lots of leavets. But she did beautifully. She's working really well on leash. And this is a critical time for puppies, folks. If your puppy never pulls on a leash, they're never going to pull on a leash. It sounds so simple, but what Debbie's working very hard with from go, based on her experience with Dixie, is to get that loose leash walking piece down just solid right now, and the pup did really well.
That's cool.
Yeah,
That's
man.
amazing. Now, how old is a pup again?
12 weeks.
She.
Yeah. And so she's got her sits, she's got her downs. And we started doing some puppy push-ups, sitting down and sitting down. And we taught her stand today on cue. And she's also learning to wave with her paw.
Wow.
So she's a great student. Well, both of them are great students, but Bella's fabulous. And one of the things I really want our listeners to understand about pups. Up until they're 16 weeks old, they're going to stick to your side. This is when they're learning about their world and people, and this is when you need to introduce them to everything you possibly can. But you need to ensure that they don't become afraid of anything because they're a little reticent. And we had a perfect example of that. We were walking from the store to the road across an empty parking lot. and we're just taking our time, and suddenly Bella stopped dead in her tracks. And I said, Debbie didn't see that she had done that. She was looking the other way. I said, Debbie, stop. She was staring at probably 20 feet away, a big, bad, silver fire hydrant. She'd never seen one before.
It's a monster.
Honestly. She just went, whoa. And she sat. And then she stood, and then she backed up a couple of steps. I said, Debbie, just back up with her. I'm going to tell you, folks, what most people would do in a situation like that, they just drag their puppy.
Right.
And it's the worst thing in the world you can do. What you do is you give the pup an opportunity to take it in, to understand it, to understand the scent, the visual, all of it. It was so cool. This should have been videoed, because Bella would take a couple of steps forward, and she'd stop, and she'd look at it again. A couple more steps forward. I said, Debbie, just walk with her. She got within about 6 inches of it. On her, this is all on her own, deciding, okay, it's not so scary, okay, it's not so scary. And I had a couple of Debbie's treats, and I just held my hand down by the fire hydrant because she was close enough at this point. She reached down, she took the treat, backed up, moved forward, absolutely fine. She will never have a fear of fire hydrants. It was fabulous.
That's very cool.
It was a great training exercise. And it was proven when we went out to beside the road, and then we walked back and walked by the fire hydrant, and she just walked right past it. No big deal. Didn't care.
No,
but that could have become a problem if it was handled differently.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And you just, if you watch your dogs, we've talked about body language before. Just watch them. They'll tell you what they need if you know how to read it. So if dog puts on the brakes, just stop moving. And if you need to, back up and give them the time they need to assess the situation and go, oh, it's not going to eat me, man.
It's not a monster.
Right, it's not from Mars. That's a fire hydrant. So she didn't have that response to anything else. She was absolutely fabulous. And then we took our little caravan on the road, and we went to a local Starbucks. I wanted Bella to experience an outdoor cafe with me there the first time. Because, folks, I mean, what we generally do, again, is we just take our dogs, assume everything is going to be fine, and you can get into trouble that way. When we initially got there, there was one table with folks at it, and we just chose to go to the far end to a table that was backed up to a wall. It's sort of kind of keeping your dog safe. What I like to do is make sure I can get a dog, especially a pup, out of the area that people are walking through, because their tails can get stepped on, they can get startled by people who come too close to them. So the whole deal is making every environment you're in safe.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want your dog hurt or surprised by anything. So I held Bella's leash, and Debbie went in and got her coffee. And what I did, because we also were working on the we don't want separation anxiety piece.
Right.
So initially Bella did what most dogs do. She looked toward the direction that Debbie had gone, but I had treats. And so we just did a couple little sits and a couple little downs, and she's like, okay, this is really cool. I don't care. She can go. She'll be back. So that's what we did. Debbie came back, and now it started to fill up with kids and adults. And so I had Debbie lure with a treat, lure Bella under her legs back toward the wall. And she found a place where she got comfortable and laid down. What I try to always do is put part of me between the dog and the traffic,
sure,
the people traffic, just keeping them safe. So that worked really well. There were a number of very bouncy children, young children, in the area. So it was a good thing that we had done. So we were there for a while. Was getting time to leave, and Debbie had just moved her body block leg so Bella could see out into the traffic area, and Bella was just preparing to stand up, and this probably a five-year-old kid came out of absolutely nowhere and threw two chicken bones probably 5 inches from Bella's nose on the ground in front of her. And we're just like Because, folks, if you don't know this, if you didn't get this memo, you never, ever, ever let your dogs eat chicken bones because, they can develop those sharp shards in their bellies.
Yeah.
You know, they can bleed out.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. I just said you don't want that.
I did the same thing. I'm like, you know, looking at the kid, looking at the dog is going, ooh, chicken bones.
Yeah.
So, you know, Debbie restrained her. I whipped up the chicken bones. Here comes the mother, apparently, of this child with a napkin, and I toss the chicken bones in it. And the amazing thing to me was that none of them said a word to us. The child was not told, well, that was a really stupid thing to do. Don't ever do it again.
Maybe a little nicer to a five-year-old, but...
Good thing it wasn't my five-year-old. I swear to you, it blew my mind. I do not know what this kid was thinking. I do not know what his parents were thinking.
Though. I can...
I'm going to give bones to the dog. It's probably a good thing. But parents?
Well, the parents should have done something. Well, but...
Go for it, Terry.
So, when we've had this conversation before. There are some people out there that I refer to as knuckle draggers. And they very well could have been knuckle draggers. And the problem is they reproduce.
Well, yeah.
And so the kid didn't, you know, the kid has no education
nothing
or training.
To base
and the
this on.
Parents
right.
don't, you know,
they
if
don't
the parents
give a
rat's are stupid,
ass.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah, then the kid ends up being.
Yeah, it made me crazy because it was typical of what can really mess up your dog. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if she had gotten one of those, we would have been going to the damn emergency vet.
Yeah, that could have been.
If she had ingested one, yeah. And dogs are quick. They're
yes,
as quick
they
as
are.
That kid, you know? So it was a learning experience for Debbie. She got to see just typically was why I say protect your pup, protect your pup, protect your pup, because people do stupid stuff. And it can
all the time.
Yeah. And it can either ruin your dog physically or emotionally, depending on what the stupid stuff is. So that's
deep
my
breath.
Story for the day.
So you didn't fix stupid?
I was not able to fix stupid. Fortunately, I just wanted to get the puppy out of there.
You intervened in stupid.
I think that's all we can do many times, you know, because you can't change it. It is what it is.
Until you can stop them from reproducing.
Okay. So, now you have cool stuff, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you have...
I have different
doggy
stuff.
Doggy stuff.
I have some doggy stuff. I have an interesting update, so that our listeners will know that I recently built a tree fort for the dogs, and I have not finished that yet because I'm still working out some of the railing details for the top piece. So for those that didn't listen to the earlier episode, it's a three-tiered fort for my dogs to play in. The top one is 4x4. It's about 5 feet off the ground. The second tier is 2x4, and it's about 3 feet off the ground. And the other one's about 1.5 feet by 1 foot, and it's just basically a step.
And this is for a couple of cattle dogs.
Cattle dogs who love to climb and run around and do rough and tumble stuff. So where it's at right now, I have not put the rail up because I was debating on the size of the rail, whether just an optical deterrent would be enough for Surrey, because Surrey likes to jump and fly and run across narrow things and do all kinds of agility things. She has no fear and apparently no pain at all from doing these things. But
and she has a 4 foot vertical lift from a
standstill. Yeah, she can jump 4 feet straight up from just a standstill. She's amazing. I've never seen a dog that could jump like she does. But so she hadn't, when we did the last episode, she had not jumped off that top area.
That's why you're thinking the railing, so she doesn't. You don't want her to injure herself.
Correct. So we're standing out there with the dogs, doing a little training, getting them up and down, mm-hmm. getting used to climbing around on it. And Surrey decides she's going off the top. And she just does, and she runs around and climbs back up there.
Having a party. Mm-hmm. Being Surrey.
And the first time she did it, she was kind of it was hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
But the second and third time... Once, the first time was kind of a angled down towards the ground.
She
the
was
second,
testing it.
She was testing
mm-hmm.
it. The second time was a straight out jump over my wife's head.
Oh my God. She was airborne.
She was trying to fly. If there's ever a dog that needs wings, it is Surrey. And the third time, it's like, okay, you stop. Just
knock it
you're
off.
You're
going
to hurt yourself.
That's
stop.
Right.
So they stopped that. And then Sparky and Surrey both got up there and they decided it was time to wrestle. on the top layer. So we had to stop them from doing that so that they didn't roll off.
Well, because Sparky's got maybe a little bit of hip thing going on, and you know, we don't want him to hurt him 6-year-old self.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Geez.
No.
Wrestling on top the top platform.
Yeah, so we broke that up. We discouraged that. They have not tried to wrestle since that up there. They'll play in the yard, but so I've got to go to a larger railing than I thought. And I was going to go like a 12-inch one, just a visual deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go to a regular rail.
And perhaps a roof.
Maybe a roof. if Suri decides that she's going to go up onto the rail and over, you know, I don't know.
Suri the flying dog.
She's amazing. She does all kinds of crazy stuff. But.
So, guys, the thing that's cool about this story is if you do cool stuff for your dogs in the backyard, be aware of how they're using it.
Yeah.
Because they can injure themselves in so many ways.
Yeah. And they don't clearly get it.
Yeah. No. No fear. It's why dogs get run over by cars. They, you know, they have no concept of the fact that that car can literally squish you.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
So that's where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got some interesting behavioral changes in both dogs, which I've noticed.
And I haven't heard this before, so tell us.
But I'm starting to associate things, so I'm putting pieces together slowly. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days ago, I'm walking by the guest bedroom, and who's laying in the middle of the bed is Miss Suri, and all laying out there like Queen of Egypt, and we don't allow our dogs on the furniture.
Oh.
Any furniture.
Whoops.
And so I looked at her and said, what are you doing? And she's just like, isn't this cool?
This is really comfortable, man. This is my bed.
So I told her to get down, and we closed the guest bedroom door. And then a couple days later, I opened it up. I went through this morning, and who's on there but Mr. Sparky. Laying in there saying, yeah, this is kind of cool. Yeah, I'm liking this.
Happiness is my own dog bed.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure that he was allowed at the rescue to get on furniture,
mm-hmm.
I think, because he was one of the privileged few.
Okay.
Because he clearly has no issues getting in chairs, which we saw yesterday at the training.
That's true.
Right up in the chair, set right down. Here we go.
What are we doing next, huh?
Exactly. So that's interesting, but here's what the pieces I've started to associate. It's both of the incidents have happened since we had a dog sitter.
Oh.
And
did you ask her?
No, I haven't yet, but she stayed in that room and she had a little chihuahua. So either they associated the fact that the chihuahua slept with her, or she allowed all the dogs to get up on the bed and sleep with her. And it's a king-size bed, so they all could have, but somehow, something's clicked with them that beds are kind of cool.
I'll bet you money they got to sleep there.
I bet too.
Very good, Terry. Good detective work.
So,
because there's always a reason when something changes.
They've never done it before. No, and it's only a couple weeks ago that the sitter was here. So for that week.
So you're keeping that door closed.
Yeah, that door's staying closed right now. They haven't gotten on our bed that I can tell, but the guest bed's pretty nice.
Alrighty then. Yeah, and it's really interesting with dogs how an incident that is will change their behavior.
Yeah.
And it makes absolutely perfect sense. Will she let us?
Yeah. What? I mean, why not?
I can't wait to hear it when you ask her. I bet you anything. Yeah.
I think so too. But
we'll
see. The other thing I've got is I picked up a cool book.
Oh, man, the illustrations are fabulous.
Yeah, I love the art. That's what caught my attention. And the story is a good story. It's a kind of a basic story, but it's a kid's book called Demo, The Story of a Junkyard Dog. And Demo is a pit bull that was rescued, and so the story is all about him.
So this is a real dog.
It's a real dog, and the photo's in the back. And the folks that put this out actually wholesale these to different rescue groups so they can resell them for profit.
Cool.
This one happens to be autographed by the writer, the illustrator, and Demo.
Awesome.
It's got a paw print on it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Way cool.
So, and it's phenomenal story. And the idea is, you know, pit bulls don't have to be bad dogs. I mean, that's really the summary of it.
The
misperception of the breed. So it's really good. It's a hardcover book, beautifully illustrated. It's about $20.
So what do you think, what age kids do you think it's for?
You know, I would think
Elementary, middle school?
Elementary, middle, yeah. I
Okay.
think you could start pretty young. So if I had younger kids, I would be reading the stories to them and get that
Get that message.
message into them that the breeds aren't the problem, it's how you train the dogs that's a problem.
Right. Well, okay, repeat the name of the book and the author.
The name is called Demo, The Story of the Junkyard Dog, and the author and artist are John Bozak and Scott Bruins.
So, guys, we'll put a link up on our website. But yeah, man, get the book for your family and have family reading hour. It's wonderful. Read aloud to your kids and help them understand that there just aren't bad dogs. There are dogs who are made to be what they are by human beings.
Right. And they even, sort of a side note from that, even if they're made to be bad, they can be made unbad.
That's right.
And there was just an announcement from Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, the first Vic dog has been adopted. So
That gives me chills.
I know, me too. I read the story and went, yes. So if you're not familiar with Michael Vick and what an a-hole he is, he had this huge dog fighting ring on his property. And short story version of this is that Best Friends took a bunch of the dogs that they thought they could rehabilitate, or some of the toughest ones to rehabilitate,
Right.
and they've worked through that. And the first one has now gone to a lady who's familiar with the breed. And I mean, just literally last couple of days this
Oh,
happened.
that
I just
is
read it this
so
morning.
wonderful. Now, and folks, as I recall, a lot of the dogs were immediately adopted out after they were tested, temperament tested by behaviorists.
Right.
So a lot of them were fine to go to homes from go. But I think it's fabulous that Best Friends is working through the behavior issues of the worst cases, and wow, maybe they'll all get adopted.
Well, that's the thing. Best Friends took a lot of the worst case scenarios because they're planning. And if you're not familiar with Best Friends, look them up on the internet. They're a phenomenal organization. But what they were going to do is, if they couldn't rehabilitate, then the dogs would live the rest of their lives there. They would not euthanize. They do not euthanize, and they have some dogs there that are not adoptable, but they have a nice place to live and they have
They have great lives.
great lives. They just can't go to a family,
And you
so.
know, how fabulous is that? We love Best Friends, and man, Terry, just keep us up to date on as more Vic dogs, if they get adopted out.
I
We
will do that. I
want to
will
hear
do
about
that.
that.
Yeah, it's awesome, phenomenal stuff. So,
Cool.
and then one last thing on, and if people haven't seen me ranting about breed-specific legislation, or maybe an acronym you'll recognize as BSL, it's where they say a specific breed of dog is bad versus the actions of the dog. There is some new tests out that I just started to read about this morning, and they're trending some data on how the identification of dogs by shelters and rescues is so wildly off, and they're proving this through DNA tests. So things, dogs that you would look at and say, well, that's a pit bull or a pit bull mix, which really pit bull doesn't exist. So it's an American pit bull terrier,
Right.
but the slang term and generic term that's used by the media who's trying to create hype and gang members is
Right.
pit bull.
Right. And it's that general look, that
square
the
head,
square
pointy
head,
ears,
big broad chest.
big chest,
Yeah.
yeah. And so what they're doing is they're running genetic tests, and they're having these people identify the breed of dog, not just pit bulls, all the breeds of dogs, and then they're running genetic tests against that, and they're saying 87.5% of the time they're wrong.
You are kidding me.
No, it's a phenomenal. I haven't read it all. But so far it's been a
Who's
phenomenal
doing
read.
this?
I apologize. I didn't bring it to the studio,
Okay,
so
that's
I
all
just
right.
read it this morning because I was, I do dog stuff all the time. So,
Right. Cool.
and I got it through one of my newsletters because I was catching up this morning. But what I'll do is, because I'm kind of, this is sort of a sampler. Once I've finished it and I've shared it with you, we'll go through and we'll do more episode information on it.
Absolutely. This, I think, is exciting.
I think it is too, because they were saying, a dog comes in and it's fluffy, mid-size, with spots on it. It's being classified as a chow.
Right.
It may not be a chow, and so they're
And
testing.
labeling them wrong
Right.
makes some of them unadoptable.
Right.
Oh man, this is
Right.
huge.
And that's the other thing. So even if you're looking at just bully breeds, look at the difference between, a pit bull terrier and a boxer and a what's the other?
American Bulldog?
Yeah, Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. And
there's such a huge range
of
them.
And, you know, frankly, I think I'm somewhat dog savvy, and I look at them and I go,
I don't have a clue. Right. You know?
Well, it kind of looks-ish like.
Right. But you can't tell by outward appearances.
Right.
Absolutely not. And I'm just grateful that genetic testing has come this far. And hopefully it will be affordable enough that this can be widespread.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is there's such a shortage of money anyway with shelters. You don't know if they'll be able to do it. But I think if some of what this can do for the BSL, there's nothing wrong with having some legislation around violent dogs.
Right.
Right? There's nothing wrong with that, because any breed can bite and attack.
They've got teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm going to go off sideways in a second, but don't make it breed specific, because
I have
a pit bull mix that's mixed with a cattle dog,
right.
and have you seen a sweeter dog than him?
Never in my life.
But he's the most gentle thing that's ever walked in this house.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of pit bulls, and where my sideways diatribe is going to go is my next door neighbor's dog. They have it's a little white fluffy dog,
mm-hmm.
and I have nothing against any size dog or any breed of dog. Frankly, I am a dog person. But this dog is aggressive to everybody. It's aggressive to dogs, it's aggressive to cats, and it's aggressive to people.
Wow.
And if I have a choice between walking up to that dog or a pit bull, I'm going to pick the pit bull, because that dog, I know I'll get bit.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It won't be a severe bite.
But it's going to be a bite.
It'll be a bite, and it won't get reported because it's a little dog. And that's where the statistics are completely wrong.
That's wrong.
Right.
That is way wrong.
Little dogs don't do enough damage to get reported.
And, well, I think the way it is here in Virginia, I don't know, correct me if you know this is different, but I think if the dog breaks the skin,
it's supposed to be reported.
Yeah. And
it's not, though. I know for a fact that one person that I talked to had a lab, and they were playing, and he got bit. And it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But when he went into the hospital to get stitched up, he said he caught it on a nail.
Yeah, because they will report it to the police. If you have to go to the emergency room or to a doc in the box for a dog bite, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't blame him. Yeah, because, I mean, that stuff happens when you're horse playing with dogs.
Exactly.
You know?
And it was...
Oh,
but
man.
But I wouldn't say that I was bit by my own dog.
No, first of all, I'd be really embarrassed that I let that happen. Like, wah. But yeah, I think that genetic piece is amazing, and I want to know more about it too.
I will share that with you, and once I finish the article, we'll see if it can make a whole episode out of it. You know, I'm so, and I think you are too. I'm so much against any breed specific language.
Oh, absolutely,
language.
Absolutely,
that's
it's wrong. It's
madness.
Insane, and we dogs are in crisis in this country because the shelters, they're practically running out of room nationwide. Right, and money. And we don't need to be making the adoption of dogs more difficult because we're labeling them wrong. So, yeah, it's good.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at statistically, a lot of the shelters are cutting their hold times down to 72 hours. I know. It's gone from days down to hours now that they're counting. So, millions of animals
are dying.
Yeah.
Dying every day. So... people, for one thing, you know, before you even get a dog, think about it. They're a huge, huge investment in time and money, and they're not disposable.
Amen to that.
So think it through before you get the dog, because the shelters are full of everything these days, but historically, they're full of a lot of dogs between the ages of, say, 9, 10 months and 18 months, because folks... see an adolescent dog be goofy, and they think they've got a stupid or a bad dog, and they just decide to dump it.
Yeah.
And so just think twice before you get a dog.
Yep. Well,
that
I guess that's it for this episode.
Good episode.
All right. We'll see you, folks.
Bye.